is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org. Home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back in another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I would also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on with the program today. We have a very, very hot topic on social media right now that is exploding. The story has just broke a few days ago, and we basically put a post out there with the video, which is a very, very emotional video to watch, especially if you're a parent of an autistic child or just a parent in general. It's a very disturbing video, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of background about this story. The story really hasn't got a lot of press right now in the media, but it is out there, and I think, you know, it definitely needs to be talked about. There was a news story. It was an 8-year-old boy who had ADHD who was actually handcuffed by a sheriff, or a police officer, if you want to say. He was the county deputy sheriff. His name was Kevin Sumner. And he was working as a school resource officer. And he's basically being accused for handcuffing an 8-year-old boy and a 9-year-old girl. Both had disabilities. There's been a lawsuit that's been filed on both, in behalf of both the children. And basically, the officer violated the Americans with Disability Act. The worst part about this is it's caught on video, okay? The officer says in the video, you know, the kid swung at him. He says, "You can't swing at me like that. And you have to do what I've asked you to do, or you will suffer the consequences. And the boy, actually, you can hear the boy in the video that says, "Ow, that hurts." It's one of those things, Lynn. It's very emotional to watch this video. The boy, the officer asked him to sit down, and he restrained the boy actually for about 15 minutes. Right now the lawsuit alleges two students experienced pain, fear, emotional trauma, and exacerbation of the disabilities. So this is a very severe thing that's, you know, going on right now. The video was posted on her social media page, has gotten viral in like a day or two. It's crazy. This was only a 52-pound boy. He was 3.5 feet tall. And just the video, the paused video of the boy with his hands behind his back with the handcuffs above his elbows, just looking at that image alone, just, it's very disturbing to look at. It really is.
Upsetting.
I don't like watching the video personally. I've watched it now twice. And it's very, very, very disturbing.
Uh-huh.
And we put it on our page, and people have gone wild. I mean, there's so many crazy comments. And I just, you know, I just want to make this clear, too. I think, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, started saying bad things about police officers and law officers. And I think that's bad, because this is just one officer. There's a lot of wonderful officers who are properly trained and working with kids with disabilities out there that do amazing things for kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I don't want, you know, this story to get out of hand. I think, you know, people will point the finger and say, you know, all cops are bad. Look at this. They're disgrace,
right.
You know. And that's not the case, Lynn. And I want to make sure, you know, we say that first, because there's a lot of law officers that do some wonderful things, and they protect the public, and they do some great things for the community. I know I work locally here with the Sheriff's Department here. We do Project Lifesaver, and we give track and control devices to families that have children with autism here in the state of New Jersey. And we've actually recovered some kids who got on our program over the years. So, I mean, you know, that's the good part about it. So, and I think people need to hear that, too, before, you know, getting into a story like this. It's important.
Yeah, it's always like one bad apple, you know, gives a bad perception of the whole community, and you don't want that. And it's
absolutely.
Even the special needs teacher that was involved, or the educator. Again, there's also wonderful educators out there that do know how to handle it and would not call in a police officer. You know, so it's the same idea. You know, it's one person who wasn't trained properly, or we don't know what the situation was. But, you know, again, this is not happening, you know, consistently all over special needs classrooms all the time, you know. But
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, when I saw the video, though, I have to say I do read a lot of cases of abuse. And not necessarily by police officers, just abuse or missing children. And it is very disturbing. And I think that in some ways this might be a good thing, because it does bring to light that kids with disabilities are abused a lot. And it isn't caught on video. I mean, this is one that was caught on videotape. What about the ones that aren't caught on videotape?
Right. You know? No, I know.
And that's, I think, what upsets a lot of people, too, is that, you know, these kids are vulnerable. They have learning disabilities. And this is why we're fighting so hard for these cameras to be in the classrooms, to know what's going on. Because what would have happened to this kid, you know, God forbid, this wasn't on video, it could have been worse. You know?
Right. No, absolutely. If it wasn't caught on tape, you know, God knows where it could have gone.
Right.
You know, and also it holds people accountable for their actions
right.
as well.
Right.
You know, I know some people, I did an interview, last year, about getting cameras into the classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some pros and cons to that, because people mm-hmm. feel like it violates their Privacy Act and
yes,
stuff like
that.
And I do get that. I do get that. I think there has to be only a certain amount of people that may have access to that.
Right.
It has to be secure
right.
because you don't want everybody getting their hands on, you know, that kind of information and, like I said, video. But, you know, there's a lot of professionals that commented about this video as well. You know, people just couldn't believe that there was no staff on hand. Like, where was the staff?
Uh-huh.
You know, if this was a special ed, you know, situation, there should have been some kind of a, you know, special educator there to handle the child and speaking to the child and discussing consequences. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I know some people think, like, you know, restraining a child for their own safety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you feel about that. I have mixed emotions about that.
Oh, I definitely I'm totally against it. But this is one of the interesting comments that I had in a situation I had with my son, because you have to be very careful. Now, this happened in Kentucky, where supposedly, I think it's against the law to restrain. That's what someone told me. I don't know if that's true or not. But in New Jersey, I'm just talking about, you know, in my area anyway, it really depends on the school. Some schools will do restraints or what they call aversive techniques with children if they're not behaving or if they're a threat to themselves or to others. Other schools will not, no matter what. And when we looked into schools for my son, that was one of the huge things, because I had heard from other parents. Now, this is probably less common today than it was when I was looking at schools for Michael. But you have to read, and I'm saying this as a parent to other parents, make sure you know their laws about how they handle behaviors, how they handle aggression and behaviors, because some schools still do it with the parents' consent. I mean, I think legally they have to have the parents' consent. But some schools will not do it at all, no matter what. They will, you know, maybe contact the parent or whatever, or maybe take the kid out of the school. I don't know how they handle it, but they don't use any aversive techniques. So we were very adamant because of my son. Now, it depends on your child, too. I mean, we knew my son is very gentle and doesn't need that, and we also knew that he's very large. And so that would be some might consider that a threat. So going into it, we were like, there's no way we're putting him in any school where they have restraints, because this is why. They say that they need the parents' consent, but we had heard through the grapevine that parents did not know that their kids were being restrained and found out later, which is really against the law because they were supposed to be told ahead of time. So that scared us very much. So we were not going to do it, no matter what. Even though they say they need the parents' consent, I wasn't going to do it. Again, it depends. You know, if your child is aggressive, but even when I speak to parents, honestly, to be honest with you, when I speak to social media, and a lot of parents have kids with aggressions and meltdowns and whatever, they're really against their kid being restrained or being, you know, held back. Because they feel that it exacerbates the problem, it doesn't help anything, the child gets scared. It doesn't seem like, I've never met anyone who said, yeah, I'm glad that my child was restrained, you know?
Yeah, no, of course not.
I've never heard that from any, and I speak to a lot of parents of severe kids. I've never heard anyone say that they're happy about it. Whenever I've heard a case where the kid was restrained, the parent is upset. And they're showing pictures of the abuse or whatever online. So to me it's child abuse. To me it's just, you know, these kids can't express themselves.
No, I mean, you know, watching this video is just, you know, it just, like I said, it's very, very difficult to watch. Mm-hmm. Just a sweet little boy, you know, and you see him just scared. You can hear his voice, and you can see his actions. Like, you know, his it's not just his hands. Is the officer tied him from top of his elbows with both his, you know, basically his shoulders are being pinched back. And that's very uncomfortable. If you just take your arms, I mean, I know I'm suffering a shoulder injury right now and I can't even get my arm behind my back at all.
Right.
So if someone forced my arm back, I mean, I would be in agony. You know, and it's this little tiny boy, little joints, little kid, you know, it kills me to watch it. Right. You know, the U.S. Department of Education came out with a statement about this. Mm-hmm. They said that students with disabilities represent 12% of all public schools, but they say are 75% of all the students subjected to physical restraints at school.
Yes, I read that. Correct.
I was like, wow, you know, that's a crazy number, you know.
And that's true. I mean, they're the prime ones that you're victims of this, and that's why I think so many parents with kids with disabilities were really outraged, just completely outraged that this happened.
You know, this all this is doing, and watching this video as I'm speaking here, I'm looking at the video, and it's just awful. You look at this little boy kicking his legs, and you can hear him crying out. You know, he's crying, and it's like, you know, he needs a hug. You know, he doesn't need to be restrained at that point, you know?
Well, it's interesting, actually. I'm reading here. He says that this police officer, this is a strange thing. It says his lawyer said he's a teacher who left that profession to become a police officer. He's totally devoted to kids and schools and education. I mean, how could he? I predict after a whole lot of hoopla, this will go away and vindicate Officer Sumner. Now, of course, this is his lawyer speaking, but I mean, he left the profession and he loves children. I mean, that's hard to believe.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's just not something you do, you know? If a kid's being bad, you could put him for a timeout in a corner or something like that, but you don't handcuff his behind his, you know, his hands behind his back. I'm sorry.
Now, you know? Also, in the story, the vice principal called the cops. Okay, And I don't know, but somebody had brought up to me, you know, first of all, why would the vice principal call the cops? I don't know what.
I mean, what did this kid do? See, this is the other thing. We also don't know behind the story. You know, was this boy running around punching everyone? Was he throwing things? You know, we don't know the back end. But even so, this still does not, you know, no matter how bad this child was, I'm sorry to say, this should not have happened, you know.
And I heard from so many professionals. One says, when I worked in the public schools, we had CPI training, crisis prevention intervention. It taught how to calm someone down, not handcuff them. I don't think there will be a single person that doesn't agree with this. It's outrageous, and protocols were not followed. Nowhere in any elementary school procedures and protocol manual would state to use handcuffs, especially the way he did up high. However, I hadn't realized that ADHD was a this person was saying she didn't realize ADHD was a disability, and she learned something new. But I told her, you know, it totally is a disability. But a couple of people wrote in that were professionals and that he wasn't even following the protocol. And it is my understanding that in the report, it clearly states he didn't follow protocol, and that is why he is facing federal charges. There are protocols for restraints, not handcuffs. He did not follow protocol. The end, you know. I mean, he didn't follow, even if he was restraining the child, why did the vice principal call the cops in to begin with? You know, I don't even know why they're not charging the or are they charging the vice principal? I don't even know.
I don't know. It's just a strange story, and you know, I really would like all the facts, obviously, to talk more about this. But from what we're seeing from this video, it still does not, you know, it's not okay. You know.
Yeah. People were saying they're fed up with the abuse of special needs. No one puts my child in handcuffs. This is tragic and cruel. People were saying they were crying.
Oh, yeah.
It made me cry. It made me real mad since I saw the video. This person doesn't
I personally, I got to be honest, I watched the video multiple times here.
Right.
This is my third time watching it.
Right.
And it gives me multiple emotion. You know, first I feel bad for the child.
Right.
I feel sad. And then I feel angry. Like, you know, you want to, you know, do something about, you know, someone hurting this child. Like, it's just horrible because I picture my own son. I think that's what it is. I envision my son with his hands behind his back, crying and screaming because he's been restrained, and he's scared because he doesn't know what the hell is going on. You know,
a couple of comments we got. It said this guy should be fired immediately, and so should the vice principal who called the cops. As a special education teacher and as an autism mom, I would be infuriated to see this or know of this happening to my child. And then, you know, they're saying if the child, well, this is someone who said, where was the special education staff member handling the child's behavior? He or she should be the only person speaking to the child and discussing consequences or even restraining if necessary, and restraining only for the child's safety and the safety of another child or staff member. There are safe methods to restrain, or SPED staff are certified to do it as a last resort. It's always the last resort, too.
Of course.
You know. So we really don't know what happened, but he, you know, looking at the video from our point of view, we're looking at this little kid and we're saying, you know, he looks so sweet and innocent and, you know, we don't know what he was doing, but
I mean, it could be a terror. We don't know, you know, I mean, obviously,
right,
but still, you don't do that, you know?
No, you don't do that. And the thing is like, there should have been someone handling either a behaviorist, a special education teacher, whoever it is.
Well,
you know, obviously wasn't there. The vice principal was freaking out and calling the cops. I mean, it just wasn't handled.
Well, the other thing is, too, is the law enforcement, and I think this is really key, needs to be trained, especially to work with children with disabilities and trauma.
Right.
Because, you know, they're calling the cops to come in to help a situation, and, you know, he's probably... I mean, they're saying he's a teacher. I mean, we don't know all that. You know, that's irrelevant because we don't know enough of the details, really. But the bottom line, if you call the police in for someone, what do? They're there to arrest someone or kind of, you know, calm down the situation. If they don't know how to deal with children with disabilities, what do? They would use their handcuffs, you know? It's like...
This is the part that kills me. You know, you hear the officer saying to the kid, you can't swing at me like that. You can do what we've asked or you can suffer the consequences.
Right.
The kid is 8 years old and has a learning disability.
I know. Yeah, that's
just horrible.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that was ridiculous. You know, you hear, you know, when you hear the audio on the video, you just say to yourself, and, you know, you wonder if there's more to the video as well. You know, if it's edited or, you know, so that's the other thing, too. Because this video was posted by the American Civil Liberties Union for Children's Law Center. So they're the ones that actually put this video out. So are we showing the whole video? We don't know. You know, if there was any information, you know, leading up to that, we don't truly know for sure.
And somebody even said, too, which is a good point, the poor child, he may never want to go back to school ever.
Well, of course.
I mean, this traumatized him as, like, you know,
for his whole life.
In his brain, is he going to want to go back to that school?
No, it's true. I mean, it definitely could ruin that child, you know, forever, really. I mean, it's sad to say.
Of course. It's abuse. It's
you know,
definitely abuse.
I mean, these are children. This is not, you know, this is not a high school student. This is not, you know, a teenager. This is a little child that was 8 years old, you know.
Right.
You know, is still a baby, you know, in my eyes. And especially with, you know, it is. It really is heart-wrenching to watch. And, but, you know, like I said, I think this is important to talk about it because we need to educate police officers. And I think that's really, hopefully something good comes out of something like this, you know, Lynn. And there, you could always look at the positive, even though it is a negative, what has happened. But hopefully this will raise awareness that we need to have
like
special training for officers.
Even know that ADHD was a disability. You know, I mean, again, that's another, you know, yes, it is a true. Some people think, oh, it's overdiagnosed. No, you have a child with ADHD. That's a learning disability.
Yeah.
If they're diagnosed with that, they have a learning disability. You know, people need to be educated, period, you know. And like you said, police officers, I know in our town also we're pretty heavily involved with the police. Is very, they get autism awareness
they
training.
Yep.
We have also the safety, is actually being given out free now, the trackers, to anyone in our town who has a child with autism.
Yep.
So we're very heavy. But yeah, I mean, everybody in the United States should be following that protocol. As far, and I think they are. I think it is getting better. I think police officers are starting to get trained. Somebody else pointed out they should also be trained with mental illness as well. That's another area there where, you know, we need more training. We need more awareness, you know, that this is an illness. It's also another area where cops, you know, may not always understand fully what's going on, you know. And, you know, that's another whole debate. But, it's just really, everyone was saying that they were just devastated and they didn't understand how this child, you know, how this could happen. And they were so happy that their child was in the program that they're in, you know, and that they're safe, you know. So that's another way to look at it, too, is like, thank God my child's in a safe program and, you know, his teachers are great and, you know, whatever. I mean, those are things that you really, when you have a child with a disability, you really have to look at, you know, and it's scary. You want to know that your child is treated fairly and that they're safe. That's the number one concern.
Absolutely. Well, Lynn, you know, we'll hopefully get some more information out of this story. And, of course, we'll report it to everybody once we get some more information on the story and what comes out of this and what kind of outcome. Because I know, like I said, the moment this video hit, our social media people were just so outraged about it and very passionate about it because it hits home for them because everybody envisions their own child at that point. You know, especially our child, you know, our children, you know, both our kids are nonverbal. So it makes it even harder. They can't even tell the officer or the person, you know, anything. So it makes it even harder for them. And it makes it even harder for us to envision something like that happening to our child. It just breaks my heart. And in my stomach, I get sick thinking about if that happened to Jonathan or Michael, you know, it'd just be awful. So, but anyway, we'll definitely follow up with this story. And, you know, if you have any questions or comments, you can email us at questions@autismradio.org. Also call our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. You know, we actually have an officer coming up on the program who actually does special training for officers. So this actually would be a perfect time to have him on as a guest. You know, I'll let you know the details once I get him from him. But I want to make sure that everybody knows, you know, the date. Hopefully nobody forgets September the 18th, guys, our annual casino night, betting on our children's future at the Bethwood in Totowa, New Jersey, from 7 to 11. It's $95 per person, or go right now, and you can get a couples special. You can get two tickets for $150 plus $150 in casino chips. Now, this offer expires on September 4th, so you don't want to miss out on this opportunity to get two tickets, $150, $150 in casino chips. Plus, you get to meet the former New Jersey Devil, three-time Stanley Cup winner, Kenny Danico, is also going to be at the event. So we're very excited to have him on board. And there also may be some other celebrities appearing as well. We're also honoring some very, very special people, Mr. John Bartlett, Mr. Pat Lepore, and Mrs. Lourdes Cortez. These are all the honorees for the Hope Saves the Day Award this year. And so come out and support them as well. And you can go to autismradio.org and purchase your tickets today. Don't wait, guys, because there will be a point where tickets sell out for the event and there's no more tickets available because there's only so many spots that can hold this, many people, basically. So we're about almost a halfway point already. So there's still a lot of tickets available, but don't wait to the last minute because it could sell out. This is something you don't want to miss. We have some really great stuff on auction. We have a signed Jon Bon Jovi guitar. We have the movie Casino Night poster signed by Robert De Niro, Sharon Stone, and Joe Pesci, plus a lot of other great stuff that's going to be on auction, and some great sports memorabilia. So if you're a big sports collector, definitely want to check out some of the great sports stuff. We're going to have some other movie stuff and lots of other great prizes at this event. So you don't want to miss out, guys. So definitely go to autismradio.org and purchase your tickets today. Really looking forward to this event. And we want to just wish everybody a great week. And remember, the closing song today is Hope Saves the Day. It's my song that I wrote for my son on his 10th birthday called Hope Saves the Day. It's available on iTunes. All purchases go to autismradio.org. It's a donation. So it's a win-win for everybody. Wish everybody a great week. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Goodbye, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand. What is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel. A tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make. No matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. Then you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope. Stay late. stepped in.